Saturdays with Ted, sponsored by Slate Music, slatemusic.com.
Breathe a little life into me, warm me with your smile, hold me in your magic spell. I want to be lost for a while. Days so full and yet so empty, all that changed when you came near. Driving through hurricanes and floods, taking on life without fear. 'Cause you breathe life into me. Flying so close to the flame, am I gonna burn? Always picked last for the team, and finally it's my turn. Mesmerized by my reflection, naked, so exposed. I've left my heart without protection. 'Cause you breathe life.
Breathe Life, and that is Laura Fernandez, who will be taking part in this year's edition of Winter Folk, February 19th and 20th, and she joins Bill and me on the line. Hello, Laura, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well as well, and that's a beautiful song. Is that your composition?
Yes, all the compositions except for one on that album are mine. Generally, that's what I do. I'm a singer-songwriter, so well, I like to record my songs.
That's very nice. So talk to me about Winter Folk, 19th and 20th.
Oh, it's a wonderful festival, and it does focus on original music and singer-songwriters, which is wonderful. I've been involved with Winter Folk since its second year, so I've been working with the festival for a long time, and also I have been a performer at the festival. And it's just a great opportunity for people to see a variety of different types of music. And when we were doing it live, it was great. It was at a couple of venues, and you could see a lot of acts one after the other, which is, you know, it was wonderful. And also a great meeting place for people who love music and for performers to meet each other. But this year we're doing it virtually.
So Laura, it's Bill here. This is the 19th year of this, And I think the focus originally was on blues and roots music, was it?
Well, I think it was always, originally started out as more of a folk festival.
Gotcha.
And there was always a blues element to it. And roots just naturally became part of it as well. But it actually encompasses a lot of different types of music now. It also encompasses elements of jazz and Latin, everything, you know, we're just always have to keep growing and keeping the festival interesting. So
I'm interested in regards to the logistics of putting an event such as this together virtually. Do the artists record the music in advance and then just send it in, and then everybody, and then somebody just sort of parcels it together?
Well, that's how we have done it this year. Every other year, obviously, has been live, but this year, because of the challenges of COVID, we have been asked to put together a video and send it in and to record it. There was actually someone that was available to help us record, if, you know, for whoever didn't have experience doing that, and just to make sure that there's a quality element to this whole thing. They want to make sure that everything sounds good and looks good. So, yes, there will be one person putting it all together. But I believe that most of the segments have already been recorded. I've recorded mine.
Where did you record yours?
It was in my own living room. My MacBook Pro. Yeah.
So it's fascinating.
From my living room.
It's fascinating. I've been interviewing teachers who teach classical music, jazz, pop music, or whatever, and musicians this last week or so about recording remotely. And when this all sort of started back in March and April, we were all like novices, and there seemed to only be a few instruments to use to do this. But in these exchanges that I'm reading between artists and everything, there are so many new opportunities and so many, you know, so many tools at hand now that the visuals have improved, the sound has improved. And I'm sure you came in contact that you were able to use, you know, some tools that really make your performance that much better.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, it started obviously early last year when gigs started getting canceled, and we all had to learn pretty quickly how to set up so we could do concerts online. So I know I ended up getting a USB, a little board, mixing board, that I plug my microphone into, and I have my piano. I'm recording with my Steinway. So I had to play a little bit of, you know, around a little bit with the microphones just to make sure the piano sounds good and everything, but at least I can balance it and have it sound good. And for my recording, we used StreamYard, I believe, and that works really well. Yeah, it's high quality and it's high definition as well. So we've had to learn how to be technological whizzes in a very short time.
You know, between musicians and artists recording materials at home, their own studios or in their dining rooms for that matter, and Zoom phone calls, and people who are now involved in the world of podcasts, it's like we're raising a whole generation of technocrats.
Absolutely. But, you know, we really have no choice. You know, when you have to, you work within the parameters that you have and with the restrictions that you have, but an artist is always going to be an artist, and an artist is always going to find a way to get their art out there somehow if it matters enough to one, you know?
You know, it's fascinating. I'm sure Ted will agree that even the most over or well-produced shows that are live on TV anymore always have incidents. When you're working with a Zoom or you're working in a situation where you've got people working remotely, you know, it may be an audio thing, maybe a dropout. And it used to be, if that ever occurred on a TV or radio, everybody would panic. But now everybody sort of says, well, that's part of the game, you know, that's where we're at.
Absolutely. Like, you know, and the dog comes into the picture and people are recording from home. And you know what? Like, the funny thing is that it's actually, I think, encouraged us all to not be afraid to do it, because, you know, you see that things go wrong and people carry on anyway. And it almost adds another element of reality and personality to the whole endeavor. So it's not such a bad thing, actually. We're human, right?
Do you think that you'll continue to do this kind of recording in your home once live performances come back?
Oh, absolutely. I really don't think this is something that's going away anytime soon. And in fact, it's opened up the possibilities to get your music out to a much broader audience. You know, I think people were doing a little bit of it before, but now it's, you know, with COVID, it's sort of become the standard and really the only way that we can get our music out there. And I mean, you could play a concert, and instead of just having a local audience that is in a club with you, you're performing to people. Like, I did the Niagara Jazz Festival, and I was performing to people in Spain. They were watching from Brazil. I mean, it was really heartwarming to see the public, and that it's everywhere. So once you're on a global scale and you're on the web, there's no limits to anything. And I think it's just the technology has to catch up to make it all sound, you know, as good as we can make it sound, so that it sticks around. But I really do think that it will stick around.
How about it being financially rewarding?
Well, you know, music these days doesn't seem to be that financially rewarding anyway.
No.
But to be honest, I think that I know that a lot of my friends have done concerts have had a lot of people donating, you know, and people are generous. They want to support the arts and they want to support the artists. So they will, you know, instead of paying $5 or $10 at the door, they're, you know, I got a tip. I think it was like $100 from this one lady. And, you know, it's unexpected. I think that even if you don't ask for a ticket price, people are generous because they know that we're all in this together and that we all need the support. So,
yeah.
So I think it can be financially rewarding, but
It's interesting. I heard Fran Lebowitz on her documentary. She was saying what people want more this at this time is food and music.
Absolutely. And maybe even good Netflix.
Yeah, and some good Netflix or Prime, you know.
I think that we all, you know, we found ourselves in a position where we still need to feel really connected to the world somehow. And I think that the arts help us feel connected. I think going back to good food has made us feel like we're not, you know, we have more time. We're at home. So we're, instead of just rushing out and running out and, you know, you grab a banana or whatever out the door when you're, where people are actually taking the time to make a real meal. You know, it's interesting because it has actually made us, in a way, feel more connected to the world, even though we're physically disconnected.
Yeah, that's
a very
good point.
That's what I'm finding.
That's a very good point. For more information and to get involved virtually, of course, go to winterfolk.com. That's winterfolk.com. And Laura Fernandez, thank you very much. Much appreciated. Hope to have you back on the show once we're live back in the studio.
Sounds great. I really appreciate you having me on, and thank you so much for supporting the festival and for supporting me as an artist as well. It's a pleasure to be a guest.
It is our pleasure. All the best. Yep. Coming up in a moment, do you want your dentist to have early access to the COVID-19 vaccine? Yeah, I do. 1:15.